Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished professional from Toronto, Canada, Julie Ellis. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Julie is the CEO and founder of Julie Ellis & Company. She's a coach to scaling entrepreneurs. She's an author, a professional speaker, and a leadership coach to corporate leaders. She's the co-founder of an award-winning Mabel's Labels, and she's an author of a book titled Big Gorgeous Goals, which you can see behind Julie, and we'll talk about Julie about Julie's book as well. So, Julie, let's start by asking you about your own journey in brief, and also if you can cover Mabel's Labels in brief.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Well, I was working, I've had an eclectic path to, where I've ended up, really. I went to University of Waterloo and received a degree in dance. And then I became a financial planner in my career. Wow. So I started working corporately for a bank and became a financial planner. And as I was having children and juggling that life with my career, I started chatting with some friends and family members about products we thought were missing from the market. And I think when you have kids, you start looking at things of, you know, what you need for them. And one of the things that was happening at that time was we were sending our kids to daycare and activities. And they said, please label everything. And we said, well, how do you do that? And they suggested masking tape and a Sharpie marker. And we felt like that wasn't very attractive or durable, and that there might be a product missing from the market that we could develop. And so we started, after about a year of research and testing, we started making labels at Mabel's Labels for kids in 2003. And we started the business in a very small way out of one of the founders' homes. And we started taking orders on the internet in 2003, which seems, you know, it wasn't what it is now. There was no social media. There was no Shopify. There were no, you know, everything was sort of pieced together ourselves. And we slowly started to grow. And that growth turned quicker because we started to get some media coverage for our product. Eventually, some smaller media hits led to us being on The View. And one of the hosts on The View, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, stood there and said, I could not live without these. And that really, we had the biggest 24 hours of sales after that, that we had ever had. And that really continued on our trajectory. So we outgrew the first basement and thought that it would be a great idea if my sister-in-law bought a bigger house so we could have a bigger basement to house our business in. But that didn't last very long, about 18 months, because the business was growing so quickly. So we ended up in a commercial space. And we continued to grow the business. We founded a line of retail labels that we sold into Walmart in Canada and Target in the US. And we grew the business up to about 40 employees. And we were sitting at a crossroads because we had reached another, you know, we'd gotten to eight figures in sales. And we had some big decisions to make about how we were going to continue to grow the business for the future. And as we were contemplating our next steps and what we wanted to do, we got a phone call from Avery Labels. And they asked if we would be interested in selling the business. And although it wasn't for sale, the conditions were right. I think after almost 13 years of running our business together, you know, people wanted some change. And so it was a great opportunity for us to also, you know, take some of the money that we had in the business off the table. And, you know, none of us had pensions as entrepreneurs. And so, you know, there were some really appealing things about it. And so very quickly, we sold that business.
How wonderful. You're one of the few successful entrepreneurs who've had a successful exit. Fantastic. And congratulations.
Thank you.
So, Julie, then let's talk coaching then. What made you select coaching as your next thing that you wanted to work at?
Mm-hmm. Well, as a leader, I have a very coaching management style, working with the people who report to me. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed like it would be a good opportunity for me to continue to work with people. And what I found was people inevitably reach me when they're at an inflection point where they're highly accomplished, they're highly driven, but what got them to this place is not going to get them to the next level and where they want to go. And so it's an interesting kind of place where they're in this moment and they need to make changes to find that success that they're so accustomed to. So it brings me a really eclectic group of people, which I absolutely adore.
Wonderful. And, you know, when you talk of coaching scaling entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. I'm assuming you are looking at entrepreneurs who are beginning to build. Am I right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So they're in that sort of low seven figures in sales. They want to go to eight. That requires, you know, a lot of planning. It requires, you know, the systems, the staff, the money, the processes, the technology, and the partners to enable and support that growth. Mm-hmm. And it's a big change from that small, more family feeling that you have when you're hitting into that seven-figure territory.
Well said. And what are some of the challenges that you think a lot of these young or smart or startup entrepreneurs face?
I think they face challenges of finding great people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants those A players. When you're tiny, it can be really hard to find great quality staff. I think that navigating the landscape of technology for non-technical founders, particularly, I mean, there's just so many opportunities and options for what you decide upon.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know what will, you know, work together? What will take you forward long enough that it makes sense to go through that implementation and that kind of pain of change? I think there are so many things, and it depends on the entrepreneur and the skills they have in their background that they bring to their venture.
In fact, one of the biggest challenges I have seen with a lot of entrepreneurs is, when should they start scaling up?
Yes.
You know, so you're talking of seven figures to eight figures. But mm-hmm. I know that if someone has got VC funding or PE funding, there's a lot of pressure from outside. What yes. are your views on when should a startup start to scale up?
I think it's when they are ready. The entrepreneur needs to be ready mm-hmm. to, like, I think one of the things that happens, we all start businesses because we're good at something or we see an opportunity, but the reality of what you end up managing isn't always what you dreamed of. Mm-hmm. And so I think you've got to be ready for a lot of change.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be ready to feel kind of off balance and off kilter, like you might not know what you're doing a lot of the time. You've got to be ready for the pace, the fast pace, and you have to be ready with the supports that you need mm-hmm. to kind of navigate all of that.
Mm-hmm. There's one other question that I wanted to ask you, is that how do you balance providing constructive criticism while maintaining a positive and supportive relationship with your coaches?
I look at myself as a bit of a problem catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
So they can bring an issue or problem, and I can provide some, you know, different doors to open to look at different mm-hmm. viewpoints of it. You know, and ultimately it's their choice of how they want to proceed. But I think it's part of also the client being ready for coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a readiness factor of, you know, you want to improve, therefore you have to let go of some of the things that you have been doing, maybe for a long time, in order to grow and in order to get to the next level where you want to be.
Fascinating. My next question is about is for you personally, Julie. You know, given the incredible background that you've had, how do you think your own background has supported your coaching philosophy, your style, and your values?
I think the flexibility that I've had doing so many different things in my career and, you know, working corporately, working as an entrepreneur, working in the arts, I think that it's been giving me really different viewpoints and allowed me to build sort of a rounded experience. And that has really helped me to, you know, sit with people and really understand where they're at and maybe give them that opportunity to see some different ways forward.
And my next question is about people who, you know, impact each one of us. And I know that, you know, we all get impacted or affected by a lot of people who shape us in our lives. So my question is, how have you been shaped by some people in your life and how have they impacted your coaching?
Well, I can say that near the top of that list would be my own coach who I have worked with for over a decade. And she really helped me map my future when I, you know, when I left Mabel's Labels and decided to go into coaching. And it was a great opportunity, I think, to explore something new. I have other mentors, other people in my life who've been longtime mentors. And I have people in my life who are sort of more on the colleague level, but they're big thinkers. They bring energy to me. And, you know, we can plan and imagine doing big things together. Mm-hmm. And that for me is a really important influence that I need to have.
Very interesting. Two more questions on coaching and then we'll move to your book. You live in a very, very multicultural country.
Yeah.
My question is, what are your thoughts on how does culture, and culture could be the company that we are working in, it could be the society that we are in, it could be the family we are from. How does culture impact coaching?
I think it does impact coaching because, well, things like, you know, the air quotes, but Canadians are nice piece of things. Well, that I see that extending into business where, you know, people need to learn how to give feedback and they struggle to give feedback. And I've got, you know, clients who've worked in the US who come back and say, I don't get this feedback thing. Like nobody wants to give it. I mean, in America, if you're not doing a good job, somebody's going to say, you're not doing a good job. And so, you know, that sort of piece of unwinding that, you know, ball of yarn to kind of figure out, like, you have to be able to give feedback. So it's sort of learning some things. And I think, you know, being aware of, especially as people become more mobile and they go and work in different parts of the world, like how the culture that you grew up in, worked in, and lived in a broader sense, you know, impact how you move in the world.
Interesting. My next question is about the young leaders, you know, the millennials and the Gen Z leaders who are now getting into positions of influence in most organizations. I'm from the boomers generation. And I've often said that these young leaders bring in a breath of fresh air, a new perspective into almost every organization. My question to you as a coach is, what, in your view, are the areas these young leaders need to be coached in?
I think they do bring a real breath of fresh air. I agree with you. So I think some of it is that boomers and Gen X are still in charge, often at the highest echelons of these companies that they're taking leadership roles in. And so navigating how to bring in their new ideas and how to, you know, navigate the political environment of that, I think is part of it. I think everybody can benefit from having a coach and from experiencing coaching, having that, you know, sort of private sounding board, confidential space to explore ideas and explore, you know, how to approach something and how to kind of get the idea you want to be sponsored to move forward. And so that's not necessarily unique to millennials or Gen Z leaders, but I think that it's part of what needs to happen in order, you know, it's understanding at the whole climate of what you're working with and what's your best path and your best way to find a door to enter to get your idea to move forward.
Well said. Thank you. Great response. So, Julie, let's now talk about your book. You're the author of a book titled Big Gorgeous Goals. Before we start talking, I'm going to ask all our viewers and listeners to go and check out Julie Ellis's book on Amazon. I will go and check it out myself. So tell me about your book and what was your hypothesis when you wrote it?
I was interested in why we see people achieve great things, why we particularly women, and what is underneath that. And myself, as somebody who had achieved great things, I found some struggles on the other side of selling my business and finding my way back to setting big, gorgeous goals and chasing big dreams took me some time. And so it started to make me ask questions about, well, what is it that people do that allows them to chase these big things? And I started to put together, you know, some of my ideas around it and tell some of my stories. And then I interviewed 16 other women whose stories made it into the book. And, you know, sort of explored with them. How did they do it? What was the underlying? And it's sort of that thing where we see the highlight reels of people's lives. We see the achievement, but we don't see the work. And so it's a little bit like that iceberg where 10% is above the water. You see the big thing, but you don't see the people, the systems, and the processes that are underneath that that sustain all of us to be able to achieve.
And for my viewers and listeners, how does one set big, gorgeous goals? I mean, what? How does one define what is big? Is it something that is completely beyond expectations, or is there some other definition?
I think that it is a goal that feels impossible for one reason or another. You don't have the money, you don't have the resources, you don't have the connections, you're not sure how to do something. So you have, you know, you've got some of the ingredients, but not all of them when it comes to a big, gorgeous goal. I think it's different for everyone, but I also think that it's a radiating upward kind of thing. So the bigger the goal you set, the bigger the one after it will get. And so as you start on the path, you have to really open yourself to the possibilities that can happen when you achieve big things and not get stuck in your sort of safety, your to-do lists, and your fear about what might happen.
Interesting. So time for two more questions. My next question is, how does one get out of the box of thinking small? And I'd love to get an I love it if you can explain this with an example.
Well, when I left Mabel's Labels, I was thinking way too small for myself. And what happened was I started to avoid clients who would stretch me and cause me to grow. I wanted to find clients where it would be in a safe zone. And that kind of thinking started to really close me in, where my thinking was getting smaller and smaller. And the clients I thought I could help were getting, it was getting less complex. It was getting less about my skill set being able to shine and more about how afraid I was of, you know, I'm just like, why do they think I have the experience? I'm just. And so that really froze me in terms of thinking about what was possible for me. And so I think that that's what happens when we get stuck in the small box, and it can be really hard to knock the lid open and let yourself out.
Right.
So I think that's where it's about, you know, surrounding yourself with big thinkers. It's about, you know, working with coaches, advisors, mentors, creating a sort of a privy council of people who also want big things, and just setting yourself up with some mechanisms that will really help you have the confidence to step out and try something, even though you might be 100% afraid.
Well said. And my last question to you, Julie, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. You had such an amazing journey, you know, successful entrepreneur, successful exit, built an amazing coaching practice, written a very, very successful book. What would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from your journey and from our conversation?
Yeah. Three things that I can think of The first one is trust. You need to learn to trust yourself. You need to find ways of, you know, instilling confidence in yourself that what you're, the decisions you're making, the way you're moving forward is the right thing to do. I think the second part is about decisions. And that is, you know, you need to get a framework that helps you keep making decisions and moving forward, because getting stuck and not making that decision, it's also a decision, right? When you're sitting at that in, and you're like, oh, I don't want to decide this right now. I'll do it later. Well, that's a decision. And your team is waiting for you to make decisions and keep moving forward.
Correct.
The third thing I think is finding people who want to think big, people who are chasing big things. Surround yourself, immerse yourself, and, you know, just keep going. Just keep going.
Well said. And on that note, Julie, and your three amazing lessons, trust yourself, get a framework to take a decision, and don't get stuck in it, and find people who think big. Thank you so much for speaking to me. I think your journey with Mabel's Labels is so fascinating. And it's so, it seems so easy when you said that, you know, you just keep building it and move from a small basement to a large basement to a much larger office and a factory. But it's an amazing journey that you've had. Thank you also for speaking to me about some of your thoughts on coaching and about your book, Big Gorgeous Goals. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.